Hey everybody, it's time for another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gigax and I am here with Chris Pennock, now installed, right? You've been installed as vice president?
Yeah, we were just installed last Tuesday.
Ah, that is awesome. So now officially the vice president of Branch 9 in Minneapolis. And Chris, I know you're here for a victory lap. Why don't you go ahead and tell us why you're here?
Well, we won the no vote.
Yeah.
By a huge margin.
Yeah, what was the actual final tally?
Oh, let's see. Hold on. Let's see. So I have the numbers of the increase in turnout here.
Okay, yeah, give us whatever numbers you want.
So first there were nearly 90,000 votes, which was a 41% increase from the last turnout of 63,000. And let me pull up okay, here I've got the total numbers. So it was 63,000 voting against the tentative agreement, 63,680 to 26,304.
That is awesome.
So that is 71% more than a 2-to-1 margin of victory.
Some people will call that kind of majority super.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, that's killer, man. And so, yeah, like we had as many yes votes as there were, or no votes as there were total votes in the last vote.
Exactly.
So let's talk about how it happened, because you are one of the key members of Build a Fighting NALC, and Build a Fighting NALC was very active in promoting Vote No on this tentative agreement. So talk about what some of the process was that got us to this point.
Yep. I want to plug fightingnalc.com, the coordinating committee of BFN. We have a statement on there that also goes over a lot of these things. Check that out. But yeah, I mean, we fought for this thing. This was something that was won by the reform movements, by, you know, people like you and me, you know, BFN, CLC, the Mike Karif campaign, all the different podcasts, but also rank and file letter carriers all throughout the country. We started off, we were taking group photos in parking lots, having parking lot meetings, discussing it with coworkers, taking photos at general membership meetings. We had all the different Zoom meetings. BFN had a, what was it, 700 or 800 person Zoom meeting.
Oh, yeah, I was on that one. Yeah, that was great.
And the, yeah, you know, the Karif campaign, CLC, they all had big meetings. So, I mean, this was letter carriers and everybody that wants to change this union coming together. One other thing was I didn't realize this until I even read our statement. 55 branches passed resolutions opposing the tentative agreement.
That's awesome.
Including Branch 9, I put one forward here in Minneapolis. And so we couldn't just rely on the inertia or from just how bad the tentative agreement was.
No, because inertia favors the incumbent, favors the status quo. Yep.
We had to get the vote out and we did that, and it was just a smashing success.
So yeah.
I'll be really proud of that.
To me, this is the first real test of this grassroots reform movement, where I've been wondering for a long time, are we actually reaching people, or is it just folks who are loud on social media?
Right.
And now we have our answer that, yeah, we really are getting somewhere. People are taking notice.
And yeah, because you never know, like, am I just in an echo chamber?
Exactly.
Am I just hanging out with, you know, because I hang out with these people that don't like it, you know, and they're my friends. I just went to this branch officers training in Minneapolis last week, and some of those national officers are saying, oh yeah, I think it's going to pass. I mean, it might just be, you know, just by a slim margin.
Closer than normal, but.
Right. And that was not the case. So
no, it's pretty awesome. Yeah. It's great to see that, you know, I had a podcast episode about the democratization of information, where before things like BFN, the only place people would have gotten information about the tentative agreement was via official communications from headquarters. And yep, having so many more sources of information now, like BFN, like podcasts, like social media, it gives carriers, it gives the rank and file a way to educate each other, to reach out to each other, so that we're not beholden to the people who are already in power. And you see that in this tentative agreement result.
Oh, totally. And we saw that even just last week with the memo from Doug Tolino, DeJoy's
Right.
right-hand man, that came out and said, "Oh, we're hearing that the tenant, despite assurances from our union counterparts, that the tentative agreement is not likely to pass,"
Well,
right?
so that may, I mean, Renfro made a statement that that memo from Tolino was fake, but the content was all accurate. You know, just like when we had the when the tentative agreement came out and there was a memo from Tolino and it wound up being totally accurate. So, if fake or not, the sentiment is accurate. I mean, it reflects reality.
When, yeah, I know there was an email from Brian Renfro saying, "Oh no, this is fake, it's a
Right.
fabrication." And then a day later, the vote comes out. I mean,
Right.
you can't tell me that wasn't a real memo,
You
right?
know, right.
And that's why, and Paul Barner at the branch officers training, because he was asked about this by another Branch 9 executive board member, Tim Bash, who's on the BFN coordinating committee, about this memo. And he said, "Oh yeah, this is why you go just to NELC.org to get your news." And it's like, no, this is why we go to other places to get our news,
Right.
because
That's
we
the
can't
exact,
trust them,
it's
right?
exactly the opposite of why. Yeah, that's, oh man. All right, so great work there. So now we've taken our victory lap. Sure, we've defeated the tentative agreement, and it is a victory for all of us. It is a victory for the grassroots movements. So tell me what happens. Let's first talk about procedurally what happens next with our collective bargaining.
Right. So I didn't know this up until recently, but there's a 5-day period before the 15-day reopening of negotiations. Now, we've heard from Renfro that when he was going around doing the wrap sessions on the tentative agreement, that if it was voted down, it was very unlikely that the Postal Service would be interested in negotiating during that 15-day period. And then this was just, online, or somebody mentioned this, that they were on a regional call with him where he confirmed that yeah, the Postal Service is not going to negotiate during that period. I don't know if they can just skip that period or if the 2 weeks will just go by with nothing happening. But regardless, it's not an open-ended reopening of negotiations, right? There's this hard time limit on it, and then they have to schedule interest arbitration. How long that will take, I mean, it's scheduling essentially a court case.
Right.
It's not going to be super quick. It's something they have to get, make sure that National Arbitrator Nolan is available, schedule it out. I'm sure it'll be a months-long process, because then it'll take, who knows, a week or two of doing this interest arbitration. They'll be calling witnesses, presenting all kinds of evidence, and then the arbitrators will then retreat and negotiate and figure out what they can figure out, and then the arbitrator Nolan will rule and issue his award, and that process will take a while.
Right.
So I mean, we're getting towards the end, but it's still going to be several more months, I'm sure,
Yeah, I would agree with
how
that.
this all unfolds.
And, you know, I remember when arbitration was first being threatened, and Renfro had all these excuses about, oh, the schedules aren't working out. We can't go to arbitration for a while. The arbitrator's on vacation. There was all these excuses. And man, if it drags out like that again, then it's time to grab the pitchforks.
Yeah. Well, with such a huge, I mean, with letter carriers raising their voices like this, right?
Right.
Because it would have been one thing if it was just, 55 to 45
Right.
and, barely anybody voting. I mean, but this is just loud and clear. We demand better. And so, I mean, if they want to have any hope of keeping their positions, they've got to fight like hell. And I know the messaging from them is that's what they're saying, is we're going to fight like hell. And they better.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think he can see. I mean, if you read that statement that Renfro put out after the TA was voted down, he says the right things about fighting like hell and carriers deserve better. Whether he believes those things, it's doubtful because we've seen the results so far. But it shows that at least he knows what the right things are, and now, you know, he knows that that's what we expect.
Right. So it took a while, but he's getting the message. So that's
right. Good. Exactly. And I've long wondered, like, okay, he knows we voted no, but does he really know why we voted no, what the problems are? And so, like, Mike Cariff has put together a petition where carriers can list what they want to see in the new tentative agreement, what they think the problems are. It remains to be seen if Renfro is going to pay any attention to that, but it would be nice to know, like, what our bargaining positions are. And on that note, Build a Fighting NALC was very active at the Boston Convention with open bargaining and with putting forth resolutions where we would know what our bargaining positions were. And then some of those passed during the Boston Convention. And I seem to remember that there was a resolution that, like, once the negotiation closed and we got our tentative agreement, that we would see, like, the history of negotiation and how everything worked out and how we got here. That has not happened. So talk a little bit about what the BFN pushed for, what we succeeded in, and now what Renfro has actually done to take action on those resolutions.
Right. So I've got my booklet here in front of me from the convention that has all the different resolutions, and they would call these general resolutions. So the one that BFN put forward that was passed by, I can't even remember now how, dozens of other branches, mm-hmm. I think a couple of trade associations. Ours called for a contract campaign, mobilizing the members and the public for holding rallies at the start of formal negotiations and throughout when necessary at certain key points in negotiations, and then also to post frequent side-by-side bargaining updates of contract negotiations on the website and in NALC bulletins. Now, that resolution did not pass.
Right.
And others did pass with very similar language, but without the side-by-side updates.
Right.
So there were other ones that basically took this language and copied it. So those first two points about holding the contract campaign and activating the public, mm-hmm. There were also, one of them called for holding rallies and posting updates monthly. That was General Resolution 12.
Right, which of course did not happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That one did pass.
Oh, it passed, yeah, but then it pass, wasn't yeah. acted upon.
Because that one did not include the side-by-side updates.
Right.
Then there was another one, I believe this one passed, General Resolution 16, about posting updates in the members-only section.
Right.
And they never did that
exactly
at all. And right. they didn't post the monthly updates. So, right. I mean, this gets to kind of a larger point that it, you know, pushing for what we want. I mean, it's great to have these kind of, you know, parliamentary, you know, kind of, you know, bylaws and resolutions and things like that. But it took political action to really get them to be where we wanted to be. And
right. If they choose to ignore the will of the members, there's still not a ton to be done about it, aside from right. throwing them out.
Right.
Yep.
And so it speaks to the importance of, you know, having a broad political outlook of mobilizing the members. Because if this was all we did was pass these resolutions, they just would have ignored it.
Right. right.
Which is what they tried to do at the start. And but then now, you know, we've dragged them into action, which this is exactly what we wanted, you know, and just such a turnaround from where we were a year ago when they were just brushing all this stuff off.
Right. So let's talk about now what we do with this momentum. What is Build a Fighting NALC's plan going forward?
Right. So National put out a little thing on social media where they said, fight like hell. NALC members are ready to fight like hell for a fair contract. Together, we will stand up and fight for letter carriers. Stay tuned for our upcoming action in Washington, D.C. And so our idea is that we want to piggyback on that and call for a national day of action all throughout the country to activate branches and letter carriers to all hold rallies in your local cities, right? Because that, I mean, that's kind of what we've always wanted is for us to all act as one, get out there, and so we can tell the media, hey, it's not just Minneapolis, it's not just Boston or Los Angeles or Seattle, or in this case, Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. that letter carriers, you know, in dozens of cities are rallying and talking about the ravages of inflation, about how low the wages are, about the poor working conditions, about, you know, the length of time that you have to be a CCA for 2 years in many places before mm-hmm. you get to be in a career position. And that's the kind of power that we want to have. That will get the attention of the national arbitrator, of the press, of the postal service, and have an impact on these negotiations. So that's what we're calling for.
All right. So there's a national day, or there's a day of action proposed in Washington, D.C., where presumably carriers in the D.C. area will get together and picket and chant and whatever. So you're proposing, or BFN wants this to be turned into a national day of action where around the country this happens. What is the date on that? Is there a date set yet?
So they just said stay tuned for okay. our upcoming action in Washington, D.C. So we don't Excellent. Have a date, but whatever that date is. There were some branches throughout the country. There was a resolution going around that that passed in Minneapolis. I know Branch 1100, maybe Boston passed it as well, to do contract rallies within 15 days of the no vote. And there were, you know, kind of a handful that did that. And we're still going to do, you know, we're going to do an event here in Minneapolis. But the turnaround is really quick mm-hmm. on that. And I'm not sure if we could really get it. And then it's also like people are talking about President's Day, but that's just outside of the 15 days. So yeah, that's our idea is let's all do it. You know, we don't have a date yet. I mean, there's still plenty of time. You know, yeah. it's not like it's going to be 2 or 3 weeks. It's going right. to be out
you know, months.
Who knows, a month yeah. and a half or 2 months right. or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll do our day of action on May Day. That would be appropriate. But yeah, I'd like to see some action taken before then. So if somebody, let's imagine our listeners want to get their branch involved on this National Day of Action, what sort of resolution or what sort of motion should they make at their general meeting in order to get on board with this?
Right. So Build a Fighting NALC is going to be hosting one of our big public Zoom meetings on February 16th. We're still kind of finalizing it, but we
give the website again so people can find or tell people where to find you.
Yep. So you can look us up either on Facebook at Build the Fighting NALC or online, just our website, fightingnalc.com. Mm-hmm. And, so once we have it, we'll post it on there as well, but we're planning on Sunday, 2 weeks from when we're recording this, but
right.
Sunday, February 16th at noon Central Time. And we'll be putting out, the links to that everywhere and inviting people. And that'll be a big discussion about planning this National Day of Action. But yeah, we would encourage people to pass motions at their general membership meetings, calling that, you know, my branch is going to do a contract rally on the same day as National.
Right. Whatever that National Day of Action winds up being, then that's when we'll all go out and do that.
Right.
Dude, that is fantastic. All right. So what sort of like national level or further movements? So let me preface this a little bit. We had the open bargaining resolution that BFN pushed nationwide and got traction, made its way to the Boston Convention. What sort of reforms or movements like that is Build a Fighting NALC working on for the future of our union?
I mean, right now, you know, a lot of it is just on the tentative agreement because that is so front and center.
Right.
And just a couple other things on that. You spoke a little bit about the different aspects of the tentative agreement, right? Because it seems like what the NALC is putting forward is that it's just going to be about the money
mm-hmm.
and like that Mike Karif had all, you know, what do you want to see out of a tentative agreement? And I think we should push back on that, right? We should demand that they change some of these agreements, right? About the reduction of the fixed office time, the elimination of the 10-hour overtime list, the weakening of the 8-5G and 1260 limits,
mm-hmm.
Demand an end to the CCA position.
Right.
How can they go after that? They have to go after that. Another thing that I just watched the nightly news with the trade wars that the Trump administration is starting to engage in. Inflation is probably going to be heating up again.
Right.
You know, And I know that, you know, inflation has cooled. I mean, of course, as letter carriers, we're still feeling the effects of it intensely because we, you know, haven't gotten the raises that we deserve. But, you know, these are going to be issues. I mean, this inflation, it might be coming up again. But yeah, looking forward, right now we're focused on the tentative agreement. There is some discussion about, well, maybe we're going to put forward the same kind of open bargaining resolution about the side-by-side updates. We're still discussing that. I guess we're not prepared to kind of provide leadership on that. But, you know, they're good. It's a good discussion to have.
Right. I think you guys are putting your energy where it's most needed, where it's the most important. Obviously, this is the single most pressing issue for letter carriers right now. Second would probably be violence against carriers. And, you know, that's something that can be addressed as well. But yeah, getting the momentum, continuing this momentum that we have to fight back against this tentative agreement, to do better for our carriers. I think you guys are doing a fantastic job of, you know, grabbing this grassroots movement and making the most of it to, exactly as the name says, build a fighting NALC. You know, this statement from Renfro when his agreement failed, that's a fighting statement. And I'd love to see the action that goes with it, but if I don't see that action from Renfro, I know I'm going to see it from Build a Fighting NALC, from the CLC, from Corey Walton, from, you know, all those different people, all these quarters where this grassroots has risen up. And Chris, I'm so glad to have you leading this movement, being a part of this movement, because it is so important for our carriers.
Totally. And speaking of seeing what it looks like for Renfro and the you know, the National NALC to put forward this day of action in Washington, D.C., I think and BFN, we think that carriers should support that.
That's
Right.
perfect. Yes.
Don't bring out your bag of rotten tomatoes and you know, boo them and jeer them. You know, when our leaders do things that we want them to do, we should support that.
That's exactly
And of
right.
course, that doesn't mean that we're going to have any illusions about what's going on. Doesn't mean that we need to ignore any of the history. But you know, if I don't know that I'll be there, but if I was in Washington, D.C. and Renfro was up at the podium talking about how letter carriers deserve a raise
Yeah,
and
you're going to
more than what
applaud
they're
for
getting
that.
from the Postal Service,
Yeah.
we should support that, you
Right.
know, and we should. And he is our national president, and so, yeah, I mean, don't forget what he's done, but at the same time, we should support our leaders when they do what we
Right.
want.
It's reasonable to be upset about the misdeeds of Brian Renfro, but that shouldn't take away from our overall mission, which is to do the right things and to have, you know, positions that we can all support. Absolutely. All right. Any parting words before we get out of here? Maybe give
Yeah,
the
I'd miss my
organization
fight.
another plug or, yep. Go
Yeah,
for it.
it's Build a Fighting NALC on Facebook. Fightingnalc.com is the website. And I encourage everybody to come to our February 16th meeting and then to organize rallies in support of our contract.
Fantastic, man. Keep up the great work. Everybody, thank you for listening. On behalf of Chris Pennock, Vice President of Branch 9 Minneapolis, I'm Alan Gygax. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.